calls at 800-313-9443. And we have Frank in North Carolina. Frank?
Yes, Deanna, thanks for taking my call.
Sure, you're welcome.
Sometimes it just doesn't much seem that the world is even worth saving, does it?
It's pretty discouraging. When I was reading that book, I was in shock. As I mentioned earlier, we don't want to believe that these things exist, so we have a tendency to avoid talking or thinking about them because we can't believe that people could be that evil as to rape day-old infants. And that's what's happening.
Yeah, I was listening, and I thought maybe, perhaps you got cut off during the conversation or something. Were you going to say something about the video that the link that you had been sent regarding Joe Biden? Had you had a chance to watch it during the break? Or
no, I didn't watch it during the break. I was going to, but and I started it, and I will do it the minute the program is over. But it does not surprise me. Whatever he does would not be a shock to me, because I think he's a piece of garbage to begin with, even before somebody said something about a video.
I knew he was real creepy. I thought it was
right.
You know, more with adult women. I don't recall being aware, you know, with the younger women like granddaughters and stuff like that. That's really interesting. I would love to see that video. So Jeff Sessions slapping his hand to keep his hand off of Jeff Sessions' granddaughters, is that what they said?
Right.
And I've heard about Joe Biden and the Secret Service agents' wives, and maybe some of the female Secret Service agents, that some Secret Service agents had to hold back other agents from killing Biden because he was making moves on their wives and stuff at, I guess, little soirees or something, holidays or something like that. So, and I've seen the videos of him coming up behind women in public and making moves on them and everything. I mean, it's really creepy. I mean, you just imagine what he would do behind closed doors if he thought there were no cameras. That's what he does when there's cameras around.
Right. If they do it in front of cameras, it's got to be much worse if there's no cameras available.
And I just wonder, does this go to their head when they get money and power, or is it more the guys that get money and power tend to be the kind of guys that basically have no conscience, no morals, and that allows them to get to the top because there's basically nothing standing in their way. They're willing to do whatever it takes.
According to Dr. Lori, she said that people will put themselves in a position where they will have access to children, whether it's having their wife open a daycare center or whether it's becoming a judge or becoming whatever. That I'm reading stuff in the chat room and trying to talk at the same time. But So people in power, and it is people in power who do this, they like power, they like having power over people, and they exercise that power in horrific ways. And they can get away with it because of their authority. For instance, a lawyer can get away with it because of his position. A judge can get away with it because of his position. He's not going to prosecute other judges, other lawyers, or anybody in his network. And she said that the pedophiles network. They know each other, they meet each other, they see each other in person, they trade their targets. She only covered 5 different areas, and she covered the military, law enforcement, legal profession, and educators. And talked a little bit about each one, and it's just mind-boggling. How can you?
Plus,
how can
if
you
someone
go,
is in a position, yeah. Plus, if someone's in a position of power, like in the legal profession or law enforcement, people are going to be a little bit intimidated by that. If somebody's
sure.
a judge, and they're
sure.
going to be a little bit, more. They're not going to have the confidence to go after, bring charges against them as they would maybe.
Right. And the thing about that, I think I lost you. Are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello? Okay. Yeah, I did want to comment, though. This stuff really is real. It happened not to me. I was never a victim, thank God, and I had a brother who was approximately 4 years younger than me, and of course I always looked after him. I would probably think anything happened to him. But yeah, back when I was like seven, eight, nine years old, there was a period of time where my parents, of course, got divorced, like around 1975. My mom worked. She always worked. And I can tell you some stories about that, too, because she was an executive secretary for some big bankers and stuff. And, of course, they were always putting the moves on. By the way, the thing that she said was always the most effective that stopped the dead in their tracks is, what would your wife think? And that always stopped them dead in their tracks. And she didn't
mm-hmm.
have a problem with that. But we were picked up, I guess, by this van. And it was in here. It was in Charlotte, North Carolina, and it's long defunct now. It went out of business decades ago. But it was called Raggedy Ann and Andy at the time. Cutesy little thing, daycare, after school, daycare type thing. And there were a lot of kids there. And I never really had any major problems. There was this one bully guy who was a little bit of a problem, but there was a guy. A male that worked there, and he's a little bit off. He kind of looked like Woody Allen. That's about the best way I could describe him, the glasses and everything, and short little guy, looked like Woody Allen, and he seemed very non-threatening, and women I guess kind of liked him, and because he was non-threatening. He's a short little guy, he's not gonna hurt anybody, but he was a predator. And years later, when I became a young adult, I came home from the military one time, and my mom had cut this paper out of the article, and she's like, "Look, you remember that guy?" I'm like, "Yeah, I remember." And she's, I'm looking at the headline, he was arrested, for child molestation or whatever it was. It's been a long time ago, but I'm like, that doesn't surprise me at all, because I remember there were unaccounted for periods of time where, actually what happened was, I actually led an escape from that place. We dug a tunnel out of there over a period of days and covered it up so they didn't know that we were digging it. And I would have people blocking off where the digging was going on, and they had to call the fire department and get us rounded up in the woods. That was a good childhood memory, actually. But I personally was never attacked or anything, but that guy, I don't know whether there had been any complaints filed against him or what, but for whatever reason, he left. And he started running child daycare. A lot of the single mothers, he started running the daycare out of his home. So then there was no supervision. And I guess all these women, just naive women back in the 70s, they're like, "Oh, well, this guy, he's a man, he's going to tell." I don't remember any girls being there. It seemed like most, if not all, of the children were males. But looking back on it now, what he did was he preyed on the weakest.
Oh, that's what they do. Sure.
And you'd be like, where is John? His name was John. And, where's that other kid? And what he would do, he would take these kids and he'd go upstairs. We'd be like in the basement playing with toys and stuff and, whatever, watching TV. And, of course,
you're talking about this was back in the 70s. And
yes.
That did happen. But with the technology of the internet and with smartphones and things like that, it has just exacerbated the entire situation, where it has become, like Dr. Lori said, epidemic. Because now it's bringing all of these creeps out of the wood. It's bringing everybody out, And people can, they get away with it because they protect each other, because they network, because they have their own language. It's epidemic.
Yeah, people out there, if you've got, you know, I guess most of the people that listen to these shows, I don't know if there might be a little old to have young daughters, but if you got granddaughters or, you know, young relative, female or male relatives out there, I mean, you got to be real careful. And, you know, I mean, you hate to unjustly, you know, target someone, but, you know, men, grown adult men who are seeking careers and looking after little children and whatnot, I don't know. That, to me, that's a red flag. But you need to have adults. You need to have other adults around and supervising that, because, I mean, these guys are crazy. I mean, you just can't imagine that somebody would do this stuff. I mean, it takes a lot of...
And that's why we don't want to think that people can do this, but they do this, and they do it more frequently than any of us can even imagine.
It's like one in three American females is sexually molested or something, are they? I mean, by the time they're X number of years old, by a relative or something.
Mm-hmm. Or an ex-boyfriend. Or...
Yeah. I'm talking about young girls or, you know, underage girls, though. I can actually say that I've never had sex with any woman under the age of 18. A lot of kissing and stuff like that, but I was also young at the time, too.
Sure.
But, hey, one last thing before I drop off. I did hear a report this last week that... on Anthony Weiner's computer, of all people, there was something on there about Hillary Clinton, and she had like six or seven visits to Lolita Island. I don't know if she was there at the same time Bill Clinton was there or what, but that takes me back to some of Kathy O'Brien's claims. But anyway, that's all I had.
Well, thank you very much for your phone call. Alrighty, let's take Kathy in Missouri. Kathy?
Yes. Hi. I am so grateful that I don't have young children right now. I don't know what I would do with all these issues. You know what I mean? But I heard someone one time say that they don't leave their children with anyone that doesn't love them. But
well, that's the problem. The problem is that these pedophiles act like they love their children. These children.
Exactly.
So,
they can fake it, and then when you've got husbands involved with pornography, I don't remember his name, but he used to be on at night, I think before John Stettmiller, and he told a story of a Utah police officer who was drugging his wife and doing things to her and videotaping it and showing it to the boyfriends, you know? This is a problem. I mean, if my grandfather had even dreamed about going onto the internet pornography one time, my grandmother, he would have never gotten back in the house, period. And he would have come home, that computer would have been on the curb, she would have taken a baseball bat to it, and she would have probably never spoken to him again. And with the economy like this, women have a difficult time leaving bad men, and I can understand that because right now I've got three bad men bullying me. Where I live, my house is perfectly maintained. I rake the leaves, I pick up the stray trash, but I'm not a degenerate, and I might complain about black mold in a wall, you know what I mean? And they don't want that, rather just have some crackhead that will stay quiet. But when we've got men surfing pornography, and anyone that tolerates pornography at all in the home is guilty.
They're criminals.
When you touch that realm, you touch that realm of adult, any pornography, you're feeding the beast, period. And it's like Catherine Austin Fitz says, don't feed the tapeworm, period. So right. I have been an anti-pornographer my entire life, and I think women need to start taking a stronger stand and not tolerating this nonsense out of the men, period. Or the women. Now women
well, it's not nonsense. It's a criminal act against babies and infants and children under the age of 12.
But
it's criminal.
That starts with adults, but I'm talking about even pornography in general. It starts usually with the adult pornography, okay? And then it goes into the other later. That's what I'm saying. Any of it is bad, and pull the plug. That's what I tell everyone. And don't tolerate that. That's not normal. But when I divorced, I had a dual... I'm sorry?
I don't know where it starts, but it's
well,
it's
I'm a
criminal.
Social worker by degree, and back in the 80s when we had a kid go up missing, the first thing they would tell us to do when I worked for Child Protective Service, it was in my internship in college, they'd say, go to the pervert place, go to that little, the titty bar restaurant, go to the magazine shop and find out which perv is missing today, because that's the first place we would start looking for the perv who kidnapped the kid, period. Pornography is dark, it's evil, whether it's any kind of it, it is nasty, it's exploitative, period. So I don't like any of it. And I tell everyone, pull the plug, you know, don't feed the tapeworm. But, yeah, it's terrible. And try to always be where you can be self-sufficient, so that if you need to walk away from one of these characters you might be married to, but imagine that that guy in Utah was watching, this cop was videotaping his wife and doing things to his kids, and they all ended up dying. He killed them, okay? And that guy was showing that to his little boyfriends in town. How many other things are these men doing? And the men are not policing the men. That's a problem in this country. I can find 10 women that will say, hey, men, we don't know what to do. And the men have got to start policing the men, period. And I'm not a fan of this perversion and all this, you know, slut whore stuff we've got up in a big house in the, it's the White House, okay? I'm not a fan of any of that stuff either. You know what I mean? Perversion.
Criminality is criminality, whether it's in the White House or the house next door or wherever.
I'm not saying they're doing the underage stuff there. I'm just saying all this slut whore tit hanging out, you know, all this stuff. It's all nasty. That's what I'm saying, though. We've got to, like, basically get back to the basics here and stop feeding the tapeworm and stop watching all this garbage, all of it. Just pull the plug. And I think that's a good place to start and try to stay self-sufficient. So if you do get a hold of a mate, a bad man or whatever that's doing something nasty, you can walk and protect your kids. These women have got to maintain their self-sufficiency, but also the men need to start policing the men. It's not funny anymore. It's never been funny. And men policing men has got to happen. And that's not happening.
Great.
And that's, I think, how we get a hold of it.
So you need to read her book and take advice from, or take her suggestions with the action items so that we can do something about it. Because if we wait for men to start policing men, it's just never going to happen. It hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, you've got
it. It's never going to happen. Okay, well, thanks, Kathy.
Thank you
very much.
Take care. Great show. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All righty. The one thing, too, that I want to go back to what Dr. Banks was talking about last week. She was talking about the fact that they used the AIDS epidemic, which was a crisis. And we all know that men in power usually use a crisis, whether it was Winston Churchill that says, never waste a good crisis, or whether it was Rahm Emanuel who said, never let a good crisis go to waste. It's all the same. They create a crisis in order to reach some sort of objective. And what she said was that they created this crisis of the AIDS in order to implement a greater enhancement of sex education in the schools. Now, sex education should be taught in the home by parents, not by strangers hired by the government. Tragically, unintentional instruction exists in many homes. It was more benign before the advent of the internet and smartphones with cameras, as I said before. But even before that, there can be unintentional instruction. I was talking to somebody yesterday who told me a story about her son-in-law who had all this pornography in the home. He had videos. He had all this stuff and was out in the open where his two of his boys saw this. And it led to a very tragic situation. Okay, we'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. And anyway, I was talking about Dr. Banks, and she said that the AIDS epidemic was really a crisis that they would use to enhance the sex education in the schools. And then she referred to the 1972 Gay Rights Platform. And I'm going to share some of that with you. And first I'm going to share with you something that was first printed in the Gay Community News on February the 15th through the 21st of 1987. And this was by Michael Swift. And I quote, "We shall sodomize your sons, emblems of your feeble masculinity, of your shallow dreams and vulgar lies. We shall seduce them in your schools, in your dormitories, in your gymnasiums, in your locker rooms, in your sports arenas, in your seminaries, in your youth groups, in your movie theater bathrooms, in your army bunkhouses, in your truck stops, in all your male clubs, in your houses of Congress, wherever men are with men together. Your sons shall become our minions and do our bidding. They will be recast in our image. They will come to crave and adore us. Women, we cry for freedom. You say you are no longer satisfied with men. They make you unhappy. We, connoisseurs of the masculine face, masculine physique, shall take your men from you then. We will amuse them. We will instruct them. We will embrace them when they weep. Women, you say you wish to live with each other instead of with a man? Then go and be with each other. We shall give your men pleasures they have never known because we are foremost men too. And only one man knows how to truly please another man. Only one man can understand the depth and feeling, the mind and body of another man. And I'll quit there, and let me skip down to the 1972 Gay Rights Platform, which Dr. Banks referred to, and some of the things that they wanted to do. Number one, amend all federal civil rights acts, other legislation, and government controls to prohibit discrimination in employment, housing, public accommodations, and public services. Number two, issuance by the president of an executive order prohibiting the military from excluding, for reasons of their sexual orientation, persons who, of their own volition, desire entrance into the armed services, and from issuing less than fully honorable discharges for homosexuality, and the upgrading to fully honorable all such discharges previously issued with retroactive benefits. I'm going to skip down to number six. Federal encouragement and support for sex education courses prepared and taught by gay men and women presenting homosexuality as a valid, healthy preference and lifestyle, as a viable alternative to heterosexuality. I'm going to skip down to number nine. Immediate release of all gay women and men now incarcerated in detention centers, prisons, and mental institutions because of sexual offense charges relating to victimless crimes or sexual orientation, and that adequate compensation be made for the physical and mental duress encountered, and that all existing records relating to the incarceration be immediately expunged. There are no victimless crimes when you're talking about pedophilia. Now, that's at the federal level. At the state level, number seven, I'm going to skip down to number seven. Repeal all laws governing the age of sexual consent. And one of the things that Dr. Banks said last week was that they wanted to lower the consenting age, which is right there. Repeal of all laws governing the age of sexual consent. This is, and if you read the whole document, it's a 14-page document. Let me just skip down. Okay. There was a platform of the 1993 March on Washington for Lesbian, Gay, and Bi Equal Rights and Liberation. Number four, we demand full and equal inclusion of lesbians, gays, bisexuals, and transgendered people in the educational system, and inclusion of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender studies in multicultural curricula. In other words, they are going to be teaching this in the schools as another lifestyle. And that's part of their agenda. Okay, reading more as we go down, I'm on page six. We demand massive increase in funding for AIDS education, research, and patient care, universal access to health care, including alternative therapies, and an end to sexism in medical research and health care. They also demand the redefinition of sexual reassignment surgeries as medical, not cosmetic treatment. And reading down. We demand full and equal inclusion of lesbians, gays, bisexuals, and transgendered people in the educational system, and inclusion of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender studies in multicultural curricula. Culturally inclusive lesbian, gay, bisexual. Oh, going to a break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one of them from Amazon.com. I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. I was a little bit alarmed, as I have always been in good health. I started this regime as soon as it arrived, and I have noted that the heaviness in my chest is gone and the pressure headaches I have been having are lessened. I am hoping to see greater results as time progresses, as I am an...
This is Deanna, and I was just sharing with you the 1972 gay rights platform and what they were demanding, and now we're down to 1993 and their demands there. Culturally inclusive lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender studies program, information on abortion, AIDS, HIV, child care, and sexuality at all levels of education, meaning the primary grades. Establishment of campus offices and programs to address lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender students' special needs. An end to discrimination at all levels of education. Okay, so this... also says repeal all English-only laws and restore and enforce bilingual education. So they have quite a lot of things that they are demanding. And this is an article from Marshall Kirk and Erastus Pill. And he said, the first order of business is desensitization of the American public concerning gays and gay rights. To desensitize the public is to help it view homosexuality with indifference instead of with keen emotion. So how do you think they're going to do that? How do you think that they're going to reprogram? Okay, so far, Gay Hollywood has provided our best, this is from them, our best covert weapon in the battle to desensitize the mainstream. Bit by bit, over the past 10 years, gay characters and gay themes have been introduced into TV programs and films, though often this has been done to achieve comedic and ridiculous effects. On the whole, The impact has been encouraging. In a campaign to win over the public, get this, gays must be cast as victims in need of protection so that straights will be inclined by reflex to assume the role of protectors. Protector. Obviously, the victim card is something that a lot of groups have tried and successfully used. It almost goes without saying, again from the book, or from this article, it almost goes without saying that groups on the farthest margin of acceptability, such as NAMBLA, which is North American Man-Boy Love Association, must play no part at all in such a campaign. Suspected child molesters will never look like victims. So they have it all planned out, how they're going to desensitize people. And again, from the article, the public should be shown images of ranting homophobes whose secondary traits and beliefs disgust middle America. These images must include the Ku Klux Klan demanding that gays be burned alive or castrated. So they're going to use those kind of techniques in order to desensitize Americans to accept their agenda. And the list, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, the fourth generation, which came out in 2000, it's very lengthy. You would not believe the list of, it's amazing, it's probably 30 different, oh, I'm sure more, 30, probably 30 different paraphilias, which is just amazing. It's just, one of them is asphyxophilia, sexual gratification derived from activities that involve oxygen deprivation through hanging, strangulation, or other means. This is bizarre. It's awful. If you want bestiality, they talk about bestiality. And all of this is considered something that is normal. They have normalized it. They have normalized something that is destroying the culture of America. They have normalized it. Okay, do you want to call in with your views on this? The telephone number is 800-313-9443. Let me share with you some other things that in the news lately. Carolyn Yeager recently wrote an article, and I will quote from it. And the name of the article is Attack Victim. Elie Wiesel attacks 19-year-old girl and runs away. So let me bring that article up. And, okay, here we go. She said that she believed this woman, this story, this 19-year-old girl, whose name was Jenny Listman. She said, I believe Jenny Listman's story right away because radio personality Deanna Spingola had told me of her experience meeting Elie Wiesel after a speech he gave as a Holocaust survivor. I do not recall where or when this took place, but Deanna claims she went up along with other audience members to meet the famous survivor after his speech. As I remember her telling it, he fixed his gaze on her with suddenly aroused interest, and whatever physical contact took place, whether handshake or something else, he held on to her longer than she felt was appropriate. He also engaged in chatty conversation, asking her about herself. Deanna at the time, and I'm quoting this, an attractive, single, working woman, blonde and blue-eyed, felt the unmistakable sexual vibes emanating from Mr. Wiesel toward her. I suppose if she had told him where she would be after the event, he would have found a way to show up there. The impression Deanna had then, at a time she was still a believer in the Holocaust narrative, never changed, that he is a womanizer. And Carolyn goes on to say, I never doubted Deanna's account. I hope she will come forward and describe this experience in her own words for the record. I'm not the only person that she told this to. And that is true. I did meet him. I met him, would you believe, in a synagogue in the northern suburbs of Chicago. It must have been around 1991 or thereabouts. I bought a signed copy of his book, Night. It was kind of a little trilogy, which I've since then disposed of. And I know what a predator is. I grew up in a predatory environment, so I know exactly what predators do. I know how they operate. And he, in my opinion, was a predator. And I'd been in the textile business for just a few years. It was shortly after my divorce in 1988. But I knew before that, as I mentioned, I'd grown up in a predatory environment. Now, I don't know whether I want to go here or not. But yes, he was a predator. And although he... It went no further than just a conversation. I felt like he was figuratively undressing me. I remember the dress that I had on that day, which I've also gotten rid of. And people can tell. I can tell because of my upbringing. Now, I had an older brother who was a predator. He was, a bit of a psychopath. Just about every scar I have on my body was put there by him. He shot me with a BB gun, ran into me with his wagon, threw darts at me. It never went beyond that kind of predatory situation. But it could have. And I learned very early. My mother never wanted children. She was constantly saying, "I wish to damn hell you kids had never been born." So she was not watching out for her daughter. She was not watching out for her son. I had to take care of myself. And my parents often sent us to our relatives during the summer just to get us out of the way. But one day when my older brother was coming after me, I don't know, I hate to be personal, but these things happen. He was coming after me, and I took a knife from the drawer. It was not a stainless steel knife. It was one of those, it was a dull lead knife. I laid it on the gas burner of the stove, got it really, really hot. He came into the kitchen, and I laid that knife on his upper arm. And he had that scar till the day that he died. I hadn't seen him for probably 17 years. And when I met him after a period of 17 years, and... he asked me to forgive him for all the terrible things that he had done or tried to do. And I did forgive him. But I think that parents need to be careful of what they do. I said that sometimes there was unintentional instruction in the home. Now, this also happened before the internet, because parents sometimes brought things home from work, and children are very they're very curious, and we always found our Christmas presents and sometimes we even unwrap them or unwrap them a little bit. Children always find things that they're not supposed to find. And I think the source of my brother's objectives was a story that he found in my father's closet. And it doesn't matter how benign you think something is, it isn't. What parents do with their children makes all the difference. Parents are supposed to protect their children from the outside world. As I mentioned, sex education should be taught in the home, not with dirty stories that are found in the parents' closet, but with love and consideration and talk about why we have this, the ability to have children and to procreate. So parents, protect your children, because if you don't, they are going to be targets of predators. And I could have been. Now life, I had my experiences, but I did learn how to protect myself. And I did learn how to spot a predator. Believe me, I know that Elie Wiesel was a predator. And there were a lot of them out there, particularly in the textile industry. So, there were other things, too, that I thought a lot about. I remember interviewing a lady, and I just love her. Her name is Glendine Grant. And her daughter was a victim of human trafficking. Her daughter's name is Jessie Foster, and she was missing. She went missing, and the last time I talked to Glendine, it's probably been about a year and a half, and they still had not found her. But when children learn to recognize what is good and what is bad, and to learn how to recognize and be smart and not be victims. And of course, it's not their fault. People are naturally trusting. But there are at least 2,185 children a day that go missing in the U.S. And I often think about the JonBenet Ramsey story and some of the other things that we've heard about, and the McMartin case, and the Franklin cover-up, the rape in the military. I posted a video about Corey Feldman that talks about pedophilia as the number one problem in Hollywood. And, of course, we know about some of the instances just recently about people, actresses in Hollywood being assaulted. Now, when I was about 15, and I left home very early. I fled home very early. But when I was about 14, my father had a friend, and this friend was kind of a Hollywood scout, and he was scouting for this lady that ran a model agency, and he wanted me to go down and meet this lady, and he wanted to get me in the movies and all this baloney. And my parents. Actually did stick up for me, and they told me exactly what kind of a life that Hollywood would entail. And they were very blunt about it. And so I didn't meet this lady with the model agency. I was a little disappointed, but I'm glad that they protected me in that instance. they did protect me. So, and I think too, strength comes from the struggle. I don't regret the things that I experienced, because I think that I've learned from them, and I guess that's a good thing if you learn from your experiences. Okay, we're going to take a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. And there was an article at The Ugly Truth that the Internet's largest porn site is opening a retail store in New York City. Is that unimaginable? And there was a time when, from what I understand, in some countries you could go in and buy porn in several areas, in several cities. But not in America. But now there's going to be one in New York. How do they get away with this stuff? How do they get away with this? Anyway, I just want to reiterate again how grateful I am for the book that Dr. Lori wrote, and I hope that each of the listeners will procure a copy. The Kindle version is really the best one because it has all the live links. Once upon a time, the worst thing that a kid could do at school was chew gum and say hell. The only tests children took were academic. There was no aptitude test to see which corporation one is best suited for. Schools did not test hearing, vision, or any other physical thing. The only physical activities kids engaged in, or children engaged in, were sports. No one ever visited the nurse because there wasn't one. Nurses were not passing out medications during the lunch break. Children brought lunch from home, where there was a cafeteria that had cooks who actually cooked a nutritious meal, and families paid a nominal fee. That was before the food industry was allowed into the school marketplace. There was no school social workers. Teachers were not instructing children how to put a condom on a banana, and they weren't seducing them, raping them. Students learned phonic-based reading, penmanship, oriented writing, pre-calculator arithmetic. There was very little bullying and nominal violence. What have we got today? How did it go from that to what we have today, where you have to be careful and consider the teacher that's teaching your children, that teacher might in fact be one of the many pedophiles that are hired by the government? 1 in 10 children will be sexually abused in the school system. That is an amazing thing. Well, I thank you very much for joining me today. It was very emotional talking with Dr. Lori Handrahan. Again, the name of the book is Epidemic, America's Trade in Child Rape. Her website, LoriHandrahan.com. We need to talk about this. We need to stop avoiding conversation and rhetoric about this. Otherwise, they will win. Thank you so much. Talk to you next week.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
My lady gonna cut you down. Go tell that long tongue liar. Go and tell that.